بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. We all agreed on one point, and the point we all agree upon is we all are desperate for acceptance. So in all matters, there is the structure, and then there is the divine instruction. So the structure is also important, but the most important thing is the divine acceptance. Nobody can disregard the structures. You need to keep yourself warm, then there are structures to keep yourself warm. You need to have a child, then there are structures that will get you the child. So there is no disagreement about a structure, but we also agree that what is the most important thing is the divine endorsement. He must endorse it, he must improve. All the structures, everything, Allah Ta'ala decreed there must be no child. Can you get the child? The preparation of food. So you got the best of recipes, and you got the proportions right, you got the recipe right, and you got the procedures right. I suppose in cooking these are three things: get the recipe, get the procedure. You got the recipe, you got the procedure, you got the portions right, then inshallah the outcome should be right. So the most important three things. But if the stomach is not right, will that food meet acceptance? If you were to take it down, and the stomach will reject. You take it down, and the stomach will reject. In Urdu house, nicely they say it, Maida isko kubul nahi karta. Stomach is not just accepting it. Tried everything, but the stomach is just rejecting. Don't we have cases? You give something and he's just throwing up. The stomach just doesn't want to accept it. So one is the structure and one is the acceptance. And many a times it happens to us that we put all our fikr, all our efforts just on the structures, as though we are saying to Allah Ta'ala that we got the structure right, now you pass it through. Nowadays you get it even more common. You ask the person that is newly married, a year, 2 years, any children, we are not yet prepared for it. As though Allah Ta'ala is, by the way, Allah Ta'ala is subject to your mental agreement. You can't subject him to your agreement. He wants it to happen now, it will happen now. He wants it to happen next year, it will happen. But then you want to subject him to your agreement, that reasoning is not right. So the great need of the hour is get our minds right. I used to be talking about this, get your mind right, and I saw a statement of one of the leading Buzurgan Adin, Sulaiman Daramani, rahmatullah alayhi. He says the same thing, exactly the same thing, but get the mind right. More important than the structure, get your thinking, understanding, get your flavor right. That's even more important. So the structure, we say, we cannot discount the structure. We need the structure. Like a house, we need the house. We need a companion, life companion. But the acceptance. When you've got a life companion, now you need to bond. Right? So what is the superfix that is to be used to get the bonding right? You went and seen this world, you went and attended 100 samosa parties, but there's something that will do the bonding. That we disregarded. We felt we got the structures right, so everything must just work. So it's his work. And that is why the dua is repeated, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub. You the turn of the hearts. You make it work. You are the turn of the hearts, and that's why you make it work. That's why when it's rosy, you say, Ya Razzaqu. That's why you make this business work. You've got the structure right, but to make it right, to make it profitable, to make it a feasible venture, then it's your work. Don't we say that? So as long as man understands his status, his maqam, his position, and he understands and acknowledges that it is Allah Ta'ala that is the doer, then he's going right. And the moment he loses sight of this, then nothing works in his life. See this verse, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِي حَاجَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكَ. Right? Now if you reflect over the story, see, what we are doing is we recite the verse, understood the tarjuma, and we pass on. But do we reflect over the story, over the message of Allah? What Allah is saying here? So, this person became haughty just on account of the fact that Allah gave him power and control. He's got power, he's got might, and because he's got power and he's got might, so he feels that he is right. So that's the reasoning. Like what's happening in some countries, you see, they got the power, so they are right. Irrespective of the genocide, irrespective of the world-class atrocities, but because they got the might, then they are right. So, one is that mindset. We can talk about them, but are we also guilty of the same crime? All of them, right? That they are guilty of this. But to some extent, are we guilty of the same crime? Because I got the control, I got the might, so I feel I am right. Now understand it through an example, through an illustration. So, we got branches all over, right? 20, 30 branches we've got. And to the branch, we appoint a manager. So, when you appoint the manager, the manager's work was to manage the branch. And managing the branch means he must do as his bosses want. Bosses want him to do it like this, open like this, close like this. This is how you will order, this is how you will mark, this is how you will package for the client, this is the instructions, right? So if the branch is conforming to the dictates and the requirements of the boss, then the branch is doing well. But if the manager in the branch feels that I am the boss and I don't have to take instructions from any senior authority, and the authority gets to know that he is pretending, he's playing boss, I ask you, will they be comfortable or will they terminate? So, nobody, you remain in your position, you give you a warning that you remain in your position, don't you pretend to be what you are not. We haven't mandated you with this. Just remain there. You remain there, you will remain well, we will be good towards you. But now, you will raise yourself above that, and you want us to treat you equally, then you aren't prepared for that. Recognize we are the boss, you are the manager, you are just working for us. You are a worker, you are the manager, and we are the boss. You keep to this standard, everything will work well. But now, if he wants to pretend to be boss, then now, will it work out? Now, I ask you then, are we guilty of this or not? in any work, in any equation, then do we keep this in mind? I am a worker and I am asked, I am required to manage. Do we keep this in mind? We spoke about the story there, that Namrud was praying God. He said, Ana uhyi wa umit. See that? So, what was his work to manage? Manage what? Manage the affairs. Which affairs? Affairs of his subjects. What do you mean by manage the affairs of the subjects? See that they are all well. There's no complaint that will reach me. That is the meaning of managing. And the manager that is managing well, how he does it is, he sees what is the requirement of the time. See, I heard this in 1970s, you know, Ahmad Lat Sahab. So he says, what is the meaning of management? You are posted as a position, you look after this Jamaat. So, looking after the Jamaat means that you take on the figure of the Jamaat. Right? So, the figure will be such at one level is you made everybody figurement. Every person has got the figure of the Amir. And the Amir has got the figure of everybody. So, you at no point are you at ease and relaxed. No. No. I need to see that this work is done. How is it done? Allah Pak knows, but I need to see that this work is done. Now, if I say, no, it's not my work, and he was supposed to do it, and that person was supposed to be doing it, I ask you, is that the relationship that you have with Deen? Because some worldly work, alright, from Samajgay, right? It's a worldly thing, right? But Deen, do you have that type of a relationship? The Deen relationship is, there's nobody to do it, let me go and do it. Like I see now, there's a vacuum here, there's a void, and this work has to be done. When this work has to be done, then I'm not the better person, but let's do it until there is a structure for the same. But now I say, no, it's not my work, and I leave the thing. And whoever is supposed to be doing it, they must do it. And I don't even notify. I ask you, are you being fair to Deen? Are you being fair to Allah Ta'ala? Are you being fair to your responsibility? Are you fair? Not fair. In your own personal thing, do you enjoy that type of a relationship with your child, with everybody else? Do you enjoy that? So that is called the mansha. Understand what is the zok, what is the ansha of your elder. When you understand that, then you are a different person altogether. The dhobi, the washerman, is washing clothes on the bank of a river. And he sees that the boss's child is crawling, right? And he's coming right to the bank of the river. And then it's just moments before this child is going to drown. So at that moment, he pulls out his job description. That my job description, what does it entail? I must wash the clothing. I must dry the clothing, iron it. And that's my job description. It doesn't say that if the boss's child is drowning, then I must save him as well. So it's not my portfolio. It's not my portfolio. Now when the whole case is reported to the boss, so you come up to the boss and say, yes, this is my job description. I saw your child drowning, but I saw my job description, nowhere it stated that if your child is drowning, then I must go and save him. I say, is that person right? So yeah, baro ke mansha ko samjhane, he didn't understand. So this is that Namrud now. See, he felt that I am in authority, and I'm in authority, and there are the two kafirs that rule over the world. One was Namrud, right? So when he's got that power, then that power, then it bloats the person. It bloats him. And when it bloats the person, then he feels that Hamchuman Digarinest. Nobody is like me. But you see now that everything begins to crack at that point. Everything collapses at that point. But if he understood Deen properly, then he would have seen the thing differently. Inna dunya hulwun khadiratun wa inna allaha mustakhlifukum fi fayanzuru kayfa ta'malun. So the world seems very attractive, all the beauty, the attraction, the wealth, the comfort, the luxury of the world seems very attractive. Cars look nice, food looks nice, women look nice, investments look nice, everything is very, very attractive. Who can say that you're not attracted? All of us will say we are attracted. But then, what is the divine plan in this whole thing here? What is divine? Allah Pak is telling you in advance that everything is going to attract you. Hulun khadiratun. It's sweet and it's attractive. He's telling you in advance it's going to touch your heart. But now, mera mansha tum samjhe. You understood now what I want from you. Inna Allaha mustakhlifukum fi. Allah Ta'ala is going to appoint you to manage the affairs. And he's going to watch your behavior. What are you doing? Are you managing it correctly or not? As you manage it correctly, then Allah Ta'ala will give you the promotion. You're not supposed to be doing it, but you understood that there was a void. And you said, alright, let me go and do it. There's a void here, let me do it. This person was failing. So I covered up for him. I could see now, if he's failing, and if I also don't cover up for him, there's going to be a big disaster at the company. Right? He forgot to close the doors, right? He forgot to close or lock up the vault, right? So now it was his duty. So I saw that he forgot to close and lock up the vault. I just walked away. And then there was a big robbery. 100 million went away. So now, boss, I looked at my job description, and this did not entail that I must lock the vault. But the boss comes around and he feels, he sees that, you know what, it was all unlocked. And the person forgot about it. And this person had the decency to go and lock it up and do it, took it as his own. See that? Apna samajh karke. Deen ko apna samajh karke karo. Do it, treat it like as though it's my own thing. Then you say, then Allah Pak says, "Hum ahlullahi wa khassatu. You are my man. Tum humare gharane ka aadmi hai. Tum humare hai." Allah Pak says that. But, "Hum ahlullahi wa khassatuhu." That you are the people of Allah Ta'ala. You are the favorite of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Jab is cheez ko apni cheez samajh karke kar rahe, you are considering it to be your own thing. And then you're doing it. You're not doing it as though it doesn't belong to me. No, no. That's not the attitude towards deen. In worldly things, perhaps you did it or you didn't do it, one of those things. But when it's to deen, then no, it's mine. You come to an area and you can see now there are children, they're all straying away. Now, what do I do? Well, it's everybody's children, all need to pull the resources together and get something going. Now you're waiting for them to pull the resources together and you can see they're all straying away. Then what's going to happen? Then just now, your children also will stray away. But you thought to yourself now, there's nobody to put this deeni structure up. Start off with these children, teach them the basics. But I know, let me pass it on to them. Alif Ba, or some Quran Sharif recitation, basic masail, Zarur Muslimin. What I know, I passed it on. Now the benefit, the barakat of it is, that not only will the town benefit, but your children also benefit, will gain from the same. So, isko main keh raha hu ki apna samajh karke karo. The deen, don't consider it to be a foreign object. Consider it to be your own thing. It's meri cheez hai. I need to put my shoulder to the wheel. I need to do it. Someone does it or he doesn't do it. He does it completely or doesn't do it completely. I must see it's done complete, it's done well. I must get it working. But now the problem is that an aatahu Allahu, when you are getting drunken with power, status, power, getting consumed with that. See that? Alam tara ila alladhi hajja Ibrahim fi rabbi. And he played boss. And what he says, ana uhyi wa umit. So Allah is telling you here that when you're playing boss, you're trying to be what you're not, then just now your stupidity, your naivety will surface. People will get to understand this is not a man to talk with because he's very shallow in his reasoning. What he says, Ana uhyi wa ummi, I can do it. Now he doesn't know that Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying, when he says, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumid, my Rabb is the one that gives life and takes life. Now gives life, what does it mean? Allah Ta'ala infuses life in something that is totally lifeless. Like see, you analyze your own self, at the beginning you were lifeless, in a drop, right? You were lifeless. Then who infused the life into that lifeless element? Who did it? Can anybody do it? The whole world, can he do it? Now he didn't realize this, he couldn't see this. He just got one indiscriminate, he got one person and he killed him. See, I take away life. This person was supposed to be executed, I spared him, I give life. So now that's shallow reasoning. A robber can do it also. Can't he do it? Robber, hijacker, innocent person goes and kills him. And a guilty person, he spares him. A robber can do it also. So the intelligence is not right. This intelligence goes away, when it goes away, when you pretend to be what you aren't. You are pretending, you see. Making a show. When you're making a show, then you understand now, this person is ki akal to mari gayi. That is why showing you that when you pretend, Allah Pak takes away your reasoning. الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِّ. Understand now, see how the reasoning is going. Understand the flow, you'll understand the mansha of Allah Ta'ala. Those who eat or who devour usury will stand up in the day of Qiyamah, but like the person that was driven to madness by the shaitanic touch. You know, shaitan, somehow jinnat caught him, and because of the jinnat or shaitan getting him, then he's driven to madness, right? But now, why is this type of a punishment meted out to this person? See, the punishment is like the crime, but the type of crime and the punishment that is meted, then it is very similar to the crime that he has committed. So now, what's the common denominator between the crime and the penalty? There must be something common. So what is common? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. The reason for this punishment is what? Is because they said, trade is like usury. Now, how they reasoning? In trade is commodity for commodity. Usury, commodity for commodity, right? So, both sides, they are commodities, and there's an exchange, one more than the other. So what's wrong with usury? See? Can you see the reasoning, right? بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Now Allah, he gives the actual reason, right? وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. The right to make a decision is the prerogative of Allah Ta'ala alone. The right to give a decision is Allah Ta'ala's alone. Now they don't recognize this. And when they don't recognize this, then, like I said, when you don't recognize Allah Ta'ala, then your brains go away. You can't reason. Your reasoning collapses because you don't want to recognize the authority of Allah Ta'ala. So what they said, that أَنَّ الْبَيْعَ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. Right? Commodity for commodity, if it's right, then riba, commodity for commodities, must be right. But Allah just gives one answer, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah Ta'ala has permitted trade and forbidden usury. Now, how does that answer relate? It relates like this, that the right to command is Allah Ta'ala's. Allah Ta'ala has got the right to. If it was that anything looks the same and should have the same law, then I ask you, your mother is like your wife, right? In all respects. She's a feminine, she's a feminine. She can deliver, right? She got the same features. then why is your mother haram and your wife halal? If you just apply your reason only, then your reasoning is supposed to take you that they got the same features, and this, like this is permissible, this is permissible. But if any person likens the mother to the wife, then you will say he's the dirtiest person on earth. Won't you say that? Why? Because the right to decide was Allah Ta'ala alone. And even a kafir will say, hey, this is really, really pathetic behavior, you know? Extremely derogative behavior. It's terrible behavior, this. That he's treating his mother like his wife. Right? Then again, I say, if it is that you say because the features are the same, the gender is the same, so then both are supposed to be having the same law, right? So that is the one reasoning. The second reasoning you can say is that the permissibility and impermissibility, that is now the line and the line that is being used today, the narrative that is being used today, was a narrative today, is it's all right, it must be consensual. Right? It's all right, but it must be consensual. So, man to man, as long as it's consensual. So anything that is consensual, then that's legal. But it must be consensual, right? So then, if you use the narrative of consensual, then I ask you, then what's wrong in zina? Is zina then haram? Because it's consensual, two parties are in agreement. When two parties are in agreement, then what's wrong about it? It's consensual. And if the father wants to sleep with his daughter, and if it's consensual, then what's wrong in it? Is there anything wrong in it? See? So that reasoning of yours is all flawed. But the reasoning is flawed, why? Because you are applying your reasoning against the word of Allah Ta'ala. When you apply your reasoning against the word of Allah Ta'ala, then your whole reasoning structure collapses. When your reasoning collapses, then you are a disgrace. But then your disgrace, you have to then somehow hide the thing, consensual, use big words, and make it appear that now what we're doing is right, because it was done consensual, it wasn't rape, right? But if you force your own wife, right, then that becomes rape. But you see now how that whole reasoning goes off. That whole understanding goes off. So here, this is called rape, and that, because it was consensual, and you slept with 20 people's wives, perfectly legal. One person, second person, third person, 50 person's wife you slept with, as long as it was consensual, then what you're doing is right. But now you see, jahan Allah Ta'ala kisi ki akal ko mar deta hai, where Allah Ta'ala destroys the brain, then this is the level of disgrace that he goes to. Allah save us. You don't realize the beauty of Islam, see. The beauty of the Quran Sharif, the beauty of Islam, we don't realize. We don't understand the depth. And then when they bring about this type of arguments, then we either fall for the argument or we become speechless at that moment. We don't know what to say. So the importance of us holding on to the original. Go back to the original, see what our elders say, and go with that. Don't move away from that. That is now your security. See, in the grave, there will be two type of interrogations, right? So, one interrogation is, he's perfect. He's interrogated, his answers were all right. Allah Pak seen him through. That was one interrogation. And the second interrogation was, that he couldn't get it right. So the malaika would rebuke him. In what words will the malaika rebuke the person? The words they will use is La dareita wala talaita. La dareita wala talaita. These are the words that he will use. First he'll say Ha ha la adri, and the malaika will say La dareita wala talaita. He say, I don't know anything. They ask him Mar rabbuk, he can't answer. And the malaika, when they rebuke him, what they will say, La dareita wala talaita. Then you had, in any situation, there were two ways to find solutions. Either you've got the capacity and the understanding to find a solution. You got the capacity, you got the brains to find a solution. So then you're supposed to find the solution, right? Like if it's an electrical problem, right? Then if it's an electrician, he will identify the problem very easily. He'll find the solution. One moment, it's all right, this is wrong. I just sort that out. And what you were troubled with for days, you couldn't get it right. He came in one inspection, he found the wrong, and he sorted it out, right? So one situation in this world you have, where you understand, you can identify the problem, and you find the solution. And the second situation is, where you don't know about it fully. You don't know. You're not clear about it, right? Then when you're not clear about it, are you supposed to be speculating? Or saying, give everybody a chance. You know, give him a chance also, give him a chance also, give him a chance. Yeah? Then you're the biggest chance then. You say, no, give him a chance, give him a chance, give him a chance. Then you're a chancer. Why you're a chancer? Because you don't know what this person is up to. When you don't know what he's up to, then your work was to go to the original, to see the person that's got no chancing and hold on to him. But are you chancing, and in the process, someone's faith, someone's understanding, someone's thinking collapses, then are you responsible for it or not? You're the head of an organization, right? And you're just chancing. You can see now it's a chance. It's a big chance. Are you prepared to go for that chance? Like it's a product that you're selling, right? And the word in the marketplace is that this product here is dangerous. There's reported cases, there was a failure on this. And somebody says, you know, it's alright, it's not a problem. I ask you, will you sell the product? When you're hearing that there was a failure there, right? And on the other hand, you're hearing that it's alright, but are you prepared to take on that? Or you just want to take something that you're absolutely certain? So you don't want a chance. But in deen now, you want to take a chance. About 3 weeks ago, Mawlana Salim Dorat from London, right, a very calm person, he doesn't fall into controversies, etc. So he took out, his clip is going around, and he says there, that you see that you're getting this YouTube orators, what? Getting YouTube orators. Before they say movie orators, movie mullahs, now they're saying YouTube mullahs. It's for Allah Pak's sake, don't give them the mimbar. Now the question that comes up after that is, what's wrong? Because at that, on that mimbar, he's not going to speak about things that are controversial. He's going to speak about right things. Then why shouldn't we give him the mimbar? So he answers that. He says, you see, when you gave him the mimbar, he spoke about something that was non-controversial. Right? But now, when the audience heard his bayan, they felt that the responsible people have called him on to give a sermon, to give a talk. That means all his YouTube things are right. That's how now the audience thinks. That because the responsible people, they were learned, or they're supposed to be understanding, they were supposed to be referring to someone. Because now they referred, they did the homework, and they gave him that position, so what they're doing is right. So therefore now that will endorse all the YouTubing. So now I ask you, are you a criminal to this whole setup or not? So that's why the malaika are saying, in the grave, interrogating you, and say, la dareita wa la talaita. Either you didn't know about it, so one is you know about it. I'm an electrician, I know my job. And if you don't know about it, say, I don't know about it. Then you follow someone. Wala talaita. See, wala talaita means follow. Either you don't know, or you know. If you know it, you go with it very well. But if you don't know, then you don't speculate. Then you go with someone that is thorough. Then what is the person that is thorough? The person that is thorough is that person who generally the righteous of that time, the righteous senior people all endorse him. Those people were taqwa, righteous. You can see that they have got a precedent in the following, in the understanding, in the direction, they have got a precedent, right? People that go on that way, we don't see any inconsistent plan in them, going straight. Right? So now that's called the elder of that time, and this is the route that they have taken. When they've taken that route, just go with them, close your eyes, go with them, carry on. Don't worry about the controversy. You saw now, this is the route that they have taken. Hold on to that and move on. Why I say you don't go on to the rest? Because sometimes the arguments are at a level where you cannot reason at that point. At some level, you can understand the arguments. At some point, it's beyond your level. Now, when it's beyond your level, then someone that is absolutely sound. Sound means between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were called on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Pak asked you that you gave this person the appointment, you were absolutely sound about it, or you just took a chance. And if you say that I took a chance, then you chance with so many people's faith, iman, and thinking, did you do the right thing? See, this Mawla Salim Durrat, what he's talking about. See? So, this reasoning must be right then. And the reasoning, as I say, the elder of the time. The elder of the time, then after that, don't fall into the controversy. Because if you fall into the controversy, then you may not be at the same level of understanding. When you're not at the same level of understanding, then you may not be able to answer. Like I said, the Jews said, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ مِثْلُ riba. The trade is like usury. And I counted that, right? And before I counted it, did you have the understanding? Now that I counted it, so now you have an understanding. So that means there is a variance in the understanding of people. Every person's understanding is not the same. So for you to just indiscriminately look into any type of social media, any program, I say, is that right? Remember that media, that message, is no different to food, right? When you have got a problem, you are not clear about it, that there is some, perhaps, there's food poisoning in this. There's something wrong. Are you going to risk your health? Are you going to risk your health? But you are prepared to risk your iman and your thinking. Let's try him out. Let's chance him also. Let's chance this person as well. Your iman and your thinking, you are prepared to risk. But your physical health, that is just going to last one day into the grave. One day in the grave, that's all. After that, stomach bloats out and bursts and finish. Kalas. The fault of worms and germs, right? For that you're so particular, and that which is supposed to be passing you through Pul Sirat, taking you to Jannah, that we become totally relaxed. I ask you, Akal Mari Gai. Is it right or not right? So anyway, we are talking about this verse, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّرُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Understand this now, especially as we are approaching Ramadan, and everybody wants that everything must be accepted. People are going for Umrah. So what you want? You want a Hajj Mabrur, Umrah Maqbool. Don't you want that? Everybody wants it to be Qabool. So the criterion for the acceptance is different, and the criterion for that thing being straight is different. Two different criteria. Like for the namaz to be right, see it's done on time. You can't read namaz in advance. Can you read namaz in advance? You're going for a long safar, going to Cape Town. Let's read our Fajr, let's read our Isha, Maghrib, Fajr namaz, and we can just hit the road one shot. Can you read namaz in advance? Can't. So, to get the structures right, that's a requirement. So the structures in namaz are about five. One is, you need to be parked, right? The place needs to be parked, your clothing, your body, and the place, right? Number two, the direction needs to be right. Right? Number three is that the time must be right, must be reading the namaz on time. Number four is this, that the niyat must be right as well. You can't read Maghrib namaz, Allah Pak, I'm reading three rakat witr namaz. Will it be right? So all that needs to be right, the structure needs to be right for that namaz to be valid. So one is the structures being right, right. And the second thing is that it must be accepted, right? And that is even more important than the first. Structure is right. But is it accepted? Allah Pak recognizes it. Allah Pak accepts it. It's a totally different thing. I say this quite often. Allah Pak knows best, right? We can't. The secrets of Allah Ta'ala, He knows. But we will say what we observe. Right? We will say what we observe. Right? I began to observe things around the 1960, right? I began to see things, came a little bit of age, understood and started seeing things. In that time, I saw a lot of people going for Hajj, right? But there was a marked difference on the return. Any person that went, came back, there was a marked difference in his behavior, in his namaz, in his tahajjud, in his clothing, in his beard, in his apparel. There was a marked difference. Right? Even in his trade and commerce, there was a marked difference. Now I ask you, people are going and coming for Hajj and Umrah and all that, but do you see any distinct change in the person? Any distinct behavior? So there's something wrong then. Something that is missing out. Why is there no change? And if there is no change in Hajj and Umrah, then even Namaz also will be the same. Because Namaz has got the property, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Fahsha means any indecent behavior, right? Munkar, the simple translation is what is not in keeping with the Sharia. But one is indecent behavior, munkar, anything that is against the Sharia. Anything that is not jais. Simple translation, what is not jais. But now, person is performing namaz, but then as he steps out of the masjid, you don't see the compliance. Still see now some place at some point there's some indecent behavior. Discreetly or openly. Sometimes open, sometimes it's discreet, but he's performing namaz so long. He's still getting involved in something that is impermissible. Munkar, still getting. So that means his namaz, there's something not right. If the namaz was right, then there would have been a different, distinct behavior in the person. So now he's not prepared to check into his namaz. So no, the world is wrong. I am right. He's not prepared to check within his namaz. Something is not right in my namaz. And that's why I can see my behavior pattern is off. Had my namaz been right, then the behavior pattern, there would have been a genuine, notable difference in the behavior pattern. But there's something definitely wrong in my namaz. See this old, and how they used to be checking on things. Even in things that don't concern them, they're so particular. One buzurg, he trained one person, and he sent him to another buzurg, Zara unko janch le. Go and try him out. Go and see, check him out. To see now, is he meeting, is he keeping up to the standards of righteousness? So, after checking him out, he sends him back. He said, how do you find my person, my students? You know, Befaida, layani admi hai. He is a person who gets involved in things that don't concern him. Why? Because I asked him, are you married? And his answer was, yes, I got children also. I didn't ask him about children. I asked him whether he's married or not. That's what I asked him. But now he had to put his own additional nuktas there. See that? So now, how much are you keeping to that? How much are you looking within yourself? Why? I can still see a wrong in me. So there's something wrong with my namaz. It needs some correction, some improvement. Now again we come to the line, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So, to meet that criteria of acceptance, what is required? So this verse says it so clearly, 60 para. إِنَّمَا comes to restrict, that acceptance is only for the muttaqeen. إِنَّمَا, restrict, right? That means nobody else besides the muttaqi, he meets the acceptance. So now you will ask, alright, what is muttaqi then? What is the meaning of muttaqi? Then it will be interesting to look into this whole story, this Habil and Qabil story, to understand exactly what is the meaning of muttaqi. Because now it's a time where one brother is telling the other brother, I'll kill you. Because of some jealousy or whatever, right? So one is envious over the other, and the one that is envious, he wants to kill. So the other brother says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّرُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He says two things. لَإِنْ بَسَّتَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِتِ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ. If you want to hit me and kill me, I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to respond. Why? Inni akhafu Allah Rabbil Alamin. Can you see this? Just look at it. If you want to strike me and kill me, you are a Muslim, I am a Muslim, right? You want to kill me, I'm not going to respond. Why? Because I fear Allah Ta'ala. So that fear of Allah Ta'ala means that he is restraining himself because of the fear. But now the question is, why is he afraid? Man is killing him, and why? He has got the right to defend himself, but why isn't he defending himself? So the reason for him not defending himself is, see, the law is وَالْجُرُوهَ قِصَاصِ. Injury equal for equal. Right? Injury equal for equal. Right? So, say for example, you're going to be throwing a punch and I'll be retaliating, right? It may be that I overstepped the mark. I hit you more than what you had hit me. You threw the punch with 5 force, and I retaliated with 10 force. So now, was it right for me to retaliate at 10 force? If you're measuring it with numbers, and you struck me with 5 force, and I retaliated with 10 force, then was I right, or am I the guilty party now? Before, you were the guilty party because you struck, right? And I retaliated, but I retaliated with greater force. So am I the guilty party or you the guilty party? So why must I be the guilty party? That is the one reason. Can you see taqwa? Where the taqwa takes you? And the taqwa is the thing that brings about the acceptance. But you see taqwa. What stopped him from retaliating? See. The second reason he says that مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. Right. You start off something, you start off wrong, right? Then you are responsible for the wrong, and every person that emulates you, his wrong is also loaded onto yourself. You started the wrong. When you started the wrong, right, so you will bear the brunt of your wrong, and any person that imitated you, you will also bear the brunt of that person. He will get his share. But because you initiated this crime, so you will take the brunt of that as well. So now, the earth is just started off. This is the first case, first dispute. So who's initiating? Qabil is initiating, right? So now, Habil says, I'm stronger, and I can throw you down in one punch, I can kill you in one stroke. But then it will go down on my account, that I was the person who initiated murder. Right? So why must I be blacklisted by Allah Ta'ala? Can you understand? Why must I be blacklisted by Allah Ta'ala initiating this crime of murder? You want to do so, it's your prerogative. I don't want to get myself messed up with this. Can you see that? Now that can only be done by the person who's got taqwa. And Habil says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Okay, you want acceptance. See, I show you got the structures right. But now you want divine endorsement. That divine endorsement is a different thing altogether. That requires taqwa. And I show you what taqwa is all about. Now again, you go and analyze this whole discussion of taqwa. Then what is taqwa telling you? Taqwa is telling you one simple message. You just apply the line of safety. Can you see this Habil? And what line he applied? He applied the line of defense, equal for equal, or the line of safety. To be safe. I don't want to risk this. I can also retaliate. And I can retaliate equal for equal, right? But I'm scared that I may just retaliate more than what I'm supposed to be retaliating. Now I will be the guilty party. So why must I be the guilty party? You want to go on the part of guilt, that's your prerogative, but I don't drag me into this. See that? So taqwa, what it requires? To be safe. Safety, what it requires? Don't go and mess up things and mix up things. You mess up things or you mix up things. Now instead of you being the innocent party, you become the guilty party. Now why should you risk your iman, your righteousness, your acceptance? Why must you risk? So now, This type of taqwa you'll find in the stories of the pious, right through. You can enumerate one story after the other story, but you'll see the same line of safety. They want to be playing it safe. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to mix it and mess it up. There's a Quraishi Buzurg, very great Sheikh, Quraishi, coming from the Quraish family. I'm just supporting this taqwa, right? And this taqwa is applied by different people, and you'll see it how it's applied. Right? So, he's got a skin allergy, from the head to the toe, and he got psoriasis, right? And the scales are just falling. He's a big Sheikh, a lot of following he's got, but now he's got that psoriasis, and he's got that skin allergy to such an extent, I think he's just dropping. Young person, 24, 23 years of age, and he's a Sheikh, popular person, and because of this psoriasis condition, he don't want to get married. He said, because I'm going to get married, I'm going to spoil someone else's life. His murids are all good people, very pious people, wealthy people, good people, and they're insisting. He said, no, I don't want to spoil any woman's life. I don't want to. Now see the taqwa, where it takes you. He could have said, no, man, you know, I'll just get married, maybe it comes right. Because there's too much of heat in my body, now I'll get married, or the heat will be offloaded, I'll come right. You would have taken a shot in the dark, right? See the taqwa way it takes him. No, I'm refusing, flatly refusing to get married. I don't want to spoil someone else's daughter's life. See the taqwa how it takes you. Anyway, one murid came in and he says, no, I spoke to my daughter, I explained exactly your skin condition, how the scales are falling, and the sight is quite miserable. You know, you're sitting in his presence and you can't feel how you will feel at that time. So my daughter said very, very eagerly, I want to be at his khidmat, I want to serve him. I want to get married. Why? I want to be serving the person. Others may feel nauseated, right? But I know the person and I want to be at his khidmat. And because his condition has been explained to me, then this is not deceit. It would have been deceitful if he did not disclose his reality. But he's been truthful. He said, alright, I got a skin condition. And the scales are just dropping off my body. Whole body is covered in this thing here, right? And therefore I'm flatly refusing. But now I know the condition. And in spite of knowing the condition, I'm insisting that I want to get married so that I could serve this person here. And I must get my rewards. Anyway, now you've got no excuse. The woman knows about it. She says, I want to get married, and I want to get married for this reason. Nikah is made. Now, when the nikah is made, she sees, hey, this man is like a prince of Jannat. So beautiful, body is accurate, spotless, no problem in him at all. So she put on the parda, I'm going out. Hey, I'm your husband, why are you going out? No, I got married to a person who had a skin allergy, psoriasis from the head to the toe. And this person is absolutely clear, no problem. So, it's a different person. No, I am the famous person. But then, what about the skin allergy? I said, no, before I could come to you in seclusion, then I made dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, this is a young woman, I don't want to spoil her life. So at least in the moments that I'm with her in privacy, let me be beautiful, clean, clear, etc. So I made the dua. When I made the dua, so Allah Pak made me like this whilst I am with you. So I then give him my divorce. I don't want to be with a person like that. But you see this, that is taqwa. That is the truth. Truth, taqwa, at the highest level. See, you want that acceptance, and that's how you get that acceptance. So he was forced to reverse the dua. Allah Pak, bring me to the original condition, this woman is pleading, and otherwise she wants to walk out of the marriage, and I don't want this to happen. My murid, how he'll feel, how he'll take it, he'll be disheartened, he'll be disappointed, and then she'll be divorced, and then there'll be a whole big problem after that. So Allah Ta'ala just reversed the whole thing. And the whole thing is reversed, and now he's coming in his original form in front of his wife. You see this taqwa. So that taqwa, in simple words, just play it safe. Take this path of safety. Don't mess around. Don't mix around. Don't risk. Don't risk yourself. Don't risk anybody else. That is the very essence of taqwa. So I say there's numerous stories that, but all point was the same, that one same point, just play it safe, be safe. Don't risk. That first ustad of Darul Deoband, see, so I spoke about the virtue of a woman, right? And if I don't speak about the virtue of a man, then they'll say, no, you know, you're only for the woman. Woman. So if you balance it up, say something about the woman, but men also excel, right? You can't be so biased about men that they got no numbers, they got no marks. They got marks also. You got marks, they got marks as well. So speak about them as well. So the first ustad of Darul Deoband was Mullah Mahmud. In those days, the alim used to be called Mullah. Like I would say Mullah Ali Qari, right? Mona Yusuf Mullah, right? Maybe his great grandfather was an alim, right? Big Buzur, right? So, say Mullah, right? So now, he passed on, as more time he saw him in the dream. How is it now? I'm in Jannah. But how did you get there? He said, no. I played it safe. See, I'm saying in my own words, I played it safe. Now, Ramadan, I had my fasting and all that. Iftar time, the food was prepared before me. And there was absolutely no spice, no salt, nothing. And then I thought, you know, I must play it safe. I mustn't complain about food because Rasulullah never complained about food. Then I also considered that this woman must have toiled so much from the morning to the evening to see that this food is prepared. Now, at this moment, if I'm going to complain, then am I respecting her emotions and feelings? I said, no. Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I will do as though I enjoyed the meal. Everything was right, 100%. No problems, no shikayat, no wandas. Absolutely. See, no wandas. See? Is that easy? You know, India and the summers is an 18-hour roza, and that heat, and you're coming in at home at that time, and there's no spice at all, no salt even, and you're eating it as though it's a delicious meal. It's a small sacrifice. Just for this, Allah Pak seen him favorably. So this playing it safe, not, and unsafe means you're going on the path, either you are indiscriminate, not worried, or you're too proud of yourself. Either indiscriminate, or you're too proud, you think too much of yourself, then you don't play it safe. So this, you know, there's so many stories about this thing here. But let me just show you a few stories and how these people, how they got this acceptance. See, we're coming to Ramadan, so we want things to be accepted, right? We're going for Umrah, Hajj, right? Or we're spending on dini causes, and we want it to be accepted. But now, how will it meet that criteria? You know, Vellam Masjid, right? So I saw it from long time, right? Alhamdulillah. So we're talking of the old Masjid. I'm just showing you now, how was the old, how they got, and now you'll see the progenies and the same, they got that acceptance. Or maybe the third generation, from what I saw then, now is the third generation. But how they got their acceptance? Now, it's a masjid, right? And the trustees are responsible for the upkeep, maintenance and the building. Because they spend their hard-earned money to put out the masjid. In those days, there used to be the bucket system. Very few maybe have seen it. All now passed on, all saw the flush only. They didn't see the bucket system. Now, you would see the trustee who put the money inside, he put his head inside, he put his mind inside, right? And now it's a long weekend, or Surish people are all on strike, or something's happened. The trustee will come before Fajr, 1 hour before Fajr, take that bucket onto his shoulder, go and offload that thing, wash that thing with his hand, and bring it back for the Fajr time. The musallis are there, right? The musallis are there, defining a spick and span, crisp toilet. But now you see the goodness flowing in his children, first generation, second generation, third generation. It just came like that. See that? They're playing it safe. They're saying, no, we are trustees. And the trustee, what is his work? The trustee's work was to see that the masjid is maintained. People want to be at the masjid. They feel comfortable. They feel nice, relaxed. And they feel so nice, and that atmosphere in the masjid is so nice. So we have to contribute towards the ambience of this masjid. So I'll do my share. And nobody knows about it. By chance, someone saw him and they leaked out the message. But up till for that years, nobody seen it. He is so discreetly, never speak about it, never advertise it. No talk, no discussion. She says, "Innama yatakabbarullah." See that I need to get something right here. I also need my jannat. I need Allah Ta'ala to accept me, right? So I must do something, at least something, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for the sake of the upkeep of his house, for the sake of the upkeep of the musallis here. I need to do something. Let me do it discreetly, nobody must know. Let me do it. So he's putting his money inside also, but he's taking on a duty that all of us will feel deplorable. You know, especially someone else's mess, and you need to clean with your hands. Is it an easy thing? Does he need to do it? He doesn't need to do it. There's no legal obligation that he must do it. But that element of taqwa, that was the thing that kept him uneasy, restless. I need to go and see that this is sorted out. Even before Fajr, it must be sorted out, cleaned up. The mess, nobody sees. They come into the toilet and they see a crisp toilet, so nice. MashaAllah, so nice the masjid is. So nice the toilets are. This is the place to come in. He said, "Innama yataqabbaru Allahu min al-muttaqin." So I say the stories are innumerable, but it's just for us now. That line that I mentioned, play it safe. What? Play it safe. Be safe. Don't, with Allah, don't mess up, don't mix up, and don't be deceitful. Don't play games. Just play it very safe, and you see how Allah will take you safe. Allah will take you safe.